Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. Sorry, the last couple of days have been a bit dry on here, but as you all know, I was away on holiday, and I did my best to sort of keep the content going as the week went on, but those last couple of days were just impossible because of everything that was going on. And I'll be honest, yesterday after the Aston Villa defeat, I really couldn't get myself up for doing it anyway and trying to squeeze the time in. I was feeling so utterly dejected and low, as I'm sure you all were, after just a horrible day at the Emirates. I haven't seen it yet. I wasn't watching the game. It was on during the last night, our big family meal, and I was following it on social media, on Twitter, as it was all going on. I was in the restaurant, there was Arsenal fans all around me, everyone was kind of watching it, following it. And yeah, so it's hard for me to really talk about the game itself and the performance because I haven't seen it. I didn't see it in, you know, I didn't sit there and watch from 90 minutes of it. I've watched the highlights since. I've seen the goals, the highlights, the missed chances in the first half, the poor defending in the second half. So I kind of got the gist of it, and following it via social media as the game was going on, it was very, very apparent that the second half was not going well. And if one team were going to score, it was going to be Aston Villa. And ultimately they did. And yeah, it was just an absolutely crushing blow at just a time of the season when you can't really afford it. And coming on the back of Liverpool having slipped up against Crystal Palace just beforehand as well, it made it even doubly more frustrating. I have to say, I was dreading this game all week. I was dreading it. I hate playing Aston Villa at the Emirates. Of all the teams, they're right up there with the teams I just never feel confident about beating. I think it goes way back to the first ever game, league game, the 1-1 draw in 2006. And Villa have just had a lot of joy at the Emirates. And I always feel bad in the run-up to playing them. I never feel confident, and I didn't feel confident about this. Even when Liverpool lost as well, I bumped into an Arsenal fan right outside the swimming pool at Centre Parks where I was, and I was coming out there, and I was looking at the score. I'd seen Liverpool lost, and I was talking to him, and it's just like, oh, we've got to take advantage. And yeah, I never felt confident, which is strange because Arsenal have been playing so, so well. Shouldn't really fear anyone, but I just never felt confident. And ultimately, they didn't get the job done. It was a tale of two halves by the sounds of it. The first half was good. Arsenal created plenty of chances, should have scored. I still don't know how Leandro Trossard missed that chance. Obviously, it was a very good reaction stop from Emi Martinez, but he should never have been given the opportunity to make that stop. And if three quarters of the goal was wide open, and you know, you'd just back Trossard 9 times out of 10 to just calmly side-foot that ball into the empty net. But instead, he side-footed it straight to where Martinez was. He still did well to get his foot out and block it, but as I said, should never have been given the opportunity. Saka put a couple of wise, Havertz had a couple of chances. Jesus with the header at the back post. You know, when you're on top in the Premier League and you're playing well, you've got to take advantage. And Arsenal have done so, so well since the turn of the year, is take advantage when they've been playing well and score goals when they've been playing well. This time they didn't do it, and then obviously it changed completely in the second half. So Arsenal ran out of steam. They ran out of ideas. Aston Villa grew in confidence. We know they're a very good team. We know the threat that they possess on the counter-attack with the likes of Moussa Diaby and Ollie Watkins, who started the game. And then you can bring on someone like Leon Bailey, who's going to stretch defences. And they did just that, and they got the goals. And yeah, it's just a horrible moment. It's not over yet. It is absolutely not over yet. There's still six games to go in the Premier League, but it feels like a really big result, a big defeat. And for Manchester City, what a weekend it was for them. And I've seen lots of comments. Everyone's been messaging me, even though I've been away, about the team selection, about the fact that Zinchenko was playing, that Jesus was playing, that they've come back into the side. And I agree. I have to admit, I was really surprised at the starting 11. In a way, I don't know why you would tinker with a system that has served you so well and has brought you so many good results. You know, I love Gabriel Jesus, but he's, in my mind, clearly not sharp yet or fit. I know he had a big part to play in the equaliser against Bayern Munich. It was a really clever play, but still, Arsenal have been playing so well with Kai Havertz playing as the number nine. And then to move him back into midfield, where it hasn't really worked for him since he's arrived in the summer, to move Jesus back up front, it just felt, when I saw the team selection, it's like, oh, that's a bit of a surprise. It just felt a bit disruptive. And ultimately, that's how it proved. Or, you know, yeah, I suppose you can say that in hindsight. But the first half, Arsenal did play well in that formation and with that system. But they didn't take the chances. And ultimately, that's what cost them. Zinchenko's come in for a lot of grief. Obviously, it sort of feels like he's absolutely been the guy sort of targeted, and it has been that way for much of the season. And again, I was surprised he started. I really thought we'd see Tomiyasu coming back into the team. Now he's kind of been around for a while and been fit for a while. I keep expecting every time a game comes around, it's like, this will be the day that Tomiyasu comes back and sort of starts at left back. And it hasn't happened yet. It didn't happen then. I hope it happens against Bayern, and we'll talk about that Bayern game in a minute. I hope Tomiyasu plays at left back against Bayern. Zinchenko's clearly struggling for form, for confidence, for whatever, but there is an issue there. He is being targeted. The really good plus points in his game, and there are many. I really like Zinchenko as a footballer, but the plus points in his game at the moment, whereas before I'd always say they kind of outweighed the negative parts of his game, you can't really say that about him at the moment. And it feels like something needs to change in that left-back position, which is becoming, strangely, because of the options Arsenal have at left-back, and they have plenty, and they're all good options, it is becoming a bit of a problematic position, though, because they don't actually have that kind of proper left-back, top-quality first-choice left-back. They have a number of options, but none of them you can really say are first-choice, and maybe that is a little bit of an issue that needs addressing in the summer. We'll wait and see if it is or not. Those two players certainly seem to disrupt things a little bit, I think, coming back into the team in recent weeks, and the performances have dipped a little bit. You know, Bayern Munich, again, first half was good, struggled in the second half, very, very similar against Aston Villa. But the key thing is, and look, I've got this quote from Declan Rice after the game, where he said, now that reaction starts in the Champions League against Bayern, so we'll be ready for that. We have to park this to the side now. It's gone. It's a game of football. We've lost, but we need to bounce back, that's for sure. It's a great chance for us to get into a Champions League semi-final, go into the Allianz Arena. It's going to be a special night. It's time to pull our socks up and show everyone why we're in this position. It's not over yet. There's six games to go. We're in an unbelievable position, 2 points behind. We're still ready. We're still focused on what we want to do and what we can achieve. There's going to be many more twists and turns in the Premier League. I think you can see that with the other results today. Anything can happen, and we'll stay positive. And look, as down as we've been in the last couple of days, and I know, you know, how I felt, and I know you guys would have felt exactly the same ever since that full-time whistle against Aston Villa, Declan Rice is right. There is still a hell of a lot to play for. Arsenal are still in a fantastic position at the start of the season. If you'd have said, with six games to go, you're 2 points off the top of the table, you're going into a Champions League quarterfinal, second leg, all square, with the game very much in the balance, you'd have snapped people's hands off to take that. Yes, what happened against Villa was disappointing. Absolutely was disappointing. And it feels like a massive missed opportunity for Arsenal to really seize control in the title race after what happened with Liverpool. They didn't, but it's gone now. And you can't, one thing you cannot do is feel sorry for yourselves, because if you feel sorry for yourselves, then that's it. This game will be done and dusted. Arsenal will lose to Bayern Munich. Then they'll go to Wolves at the weekend and lose. And then it is season over. And you can't afford that to happen. You haven't worked so hard since January to go on this unbelievable run to then just throw it away and have a season done in the space of a week. So they have to focus. I'm sure they will. And they need to go in over the next two games and put in really top performances and try and get the job done, because we could all feel a hell of a lot better about ourselves if Arsenal go to Bayern and produce what would be a historic night in the club's history by winning there and making it into the semi-finals of the Champions League and then backing it up with a win against Wolves at the weekend. And don't forget, Manchester City don't play. I think Arsenal play two more Premier League games now before Manchester City are next in action. So if Arsenal win those two games, they'll be 4 points ahead of Manchester City. And that does put pressure, even on the likes of Manchester City, that will put pressure on them. So it's still all to play for at Arsenal. And that has to be the mindset, no matter how disappointed everyone is feeling right now after the weekend results.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
As I said, Zinchenko is coming in for a lot of criticism at the moment. And I think that decision and what Mikel is going to do on left back against Bayern on Wednesday night is going to be really, really interesting. We'll have to wait and see what's going on with Arsenal in terms of potential team selections. I'm recording this. This is pre-recorded, by the way. I've been recording this. I got home just now. This is Monday evening. I'm recording it now. I'm going to put it out on Tuesday morning while I'm flying, because tomorrow morning I drop my kids to school and then go straight to the airport and fly out to Munich. Mikel Arteta is going to have his press conference on Tuesday evening at the Allianz Arena. I'll be there for that. And then obviously it's a match on Wednesday where I'll be there, of course, for that as well. So we'll wait and see what Mikel says in his press conference, and we'll wait and see who travels to Munich for Arsenal. There are a few doubts. Martin Odegaard, who we'll talk about in a second. But Zinchenko, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see what Arsenal do. That is the key position, I think, at left back. I'd absolutely go Tomiyasu for this game. He's been fit for a while now. He's a quality player. He's proven that before his injury. I'd be bringing Tomiyasu into this team. I just feel like Zinchenko needs a bit of a... Sometimes you need to be taken out of a team for the good of yourself and the good of your teammates. And as I said, for the good things that Zinchenko does, and there are plenty of them, I just feel right now what's happening with him, the positives aren't outweighing the negatives, and that's an issue. So I'd be having Tomiyasu at left back, and I'd be having Ben White playing that inverted role on the right hand side, which he's been doing so well, and then Saliba and Gabriel obviously, and then it's what you have to do in midfield: Declan Rice, Jorginho. You know, should Jorginho come on earlier against Aston Villa when Arsenal clearly had lost the control of the midfield early on in that second half? Potentially so. But I think with the Bayern game, you definitely bring Jorginho back in for that game. And then we'll wait and see. Obviously, Martin Odegaard went off against Villa. It was a decision that raised a few eyebrows at the time. We've since learned that he had a bit of a problem and he wasn't able to continue the game. Fingers crossed that is not something that impacts him against Bayern Munich, because, again, I didn't watch the game against Villa completely. But as I said, I was following it, and it was very, very apparent that Martin Odegaard in that first 45 minutes when Arsenal played very well was having a stormer of a game. And if Arsenal are going to do anything at Bayern Munich, if they're going to go there and they're going to win in the Allianz Arena, they need Martin Odegaard to play, because if he doesn't, I think that is an absolute, that will be a catastrophe. That will be such a difficult player to replace because of what he brings in terms of his creativity, his work rate, his leadership. It'd be a huge blow to be without Martin Odegaard. So we'll wait and see what Mikel Arteta says at that press conference on Tuesday night. I'll try, if I can, and do a video after that press conference. I can't promise anything. It depends what time it all finishes and what time we get kicked out of the stadium and have to head back to our hotels. So I'll wait and see. If not, I'll definitely be doing a episode on Wednesday morning, of course, previewing the game, and we're going over what Mikel Arteta had to say about the very latest team news. in terms of Bayern Munich team news, obviously it looks like there's no Kingsley Coman. Well, there's no Kingsley Coman. He got injured in the weekend in their win against Köln. Went off Leroy Sané and it was the other winger who I've completely forgotten his name. Is a doubt. Let me just, I can't believe I have forgotten his name. Serge Gnabry, of course, the ex-Arsenal player. How could I forget him? Gnabry's got his injury issue. Leroy Sané's apparently a doubt, according to Thomas Tuchel. And there's going to be no Kingsley Coman. He could well be out for the season. So on the wings, maybe Bayern again a little bit, going to be a little bit stretched on Wednesday. We'll wait and see. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all if both Sané and Gnabry are fit for that game. We'll have to, whenever you see sort of injury updates from managers ahead of big games like that, you take them all with a pinch of salt. It's clear that Coman's not going to be available, but Sané and Gnabry will have to wait and see on that. And if I do get any updates while I'm over in Germany, of course, I will bring them to you. And even if I don't get to do a video tomorrow after the press conference, I will be doing live updates from that press conference on my social media. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Look, this is a real sort of rushed show, this one. I just wanted to make sure that we had something going out on Tuesday morning, because I'm well aware that I've missed a couple of shows now because of holiday commitments. So yeah, this is a rush one. I'm not going to go through any questions and comments from you guys, but if you do, for tomorrow's preview show, in terms of who you want to see play, what 11 you want to see Mikel Arteta go for, please do reply to this in the comments below. I'll pull a load of them together and get them all included in Wednesday night's show. Until then, everyone, have a very good day, and I'll be back joining you from Munich next time I see you. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.